Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our message for today is our epistle lesson. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20, and again it reads as follows. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead did not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Thus far our text, and we bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, eternal Father, you are the King of kings, you are the Lord of lords, you are the creator of the universe. You are the one that has given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, you gather us together around your means of grace to worship you in spirit and in truth. As your means of grace point us to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now we get ready to hear your word applied to our lives, and so we ask in that name which is above all other names, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts truly be acceptable in your sight. For we pray this prayer as we give thanks to you as we continue this time of worship. In the blessed and holy name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. And it is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we begin our message for today as we look at the theme, Witnesses of the Truth. Witnesses to the truth. Now, witnesses are important, aren't they? When a couple gets married, they have to have witnesses to sign their marriage license so that the state knows that they actually are married. And those witnesses become very, very important. In a court of law, witnesses are important. In fact, a witness has to take an oath. And they're asked, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And then the witness says, yes. Even witnesses of the faith are important. As I shared with the Bible class this morning, my wife, when we lived in Michigan, she worked at a hospital, and most of the doctors at the hospital were Muslim. And the one in particular was trying to convert my family and myself to becoming Muslims. And one of the things that Dr. Hamadeh told Janie, because he started to talk more to me instead of her, and she questioned him about it, and he said, if I can get the big fish, I'll get the rest of the family. If your husband converts to Islam, you will become Muslim. And Janie looked at him and said, Dr. Hamadeh, you don't know American women. But one of the things was that one time she said, Dr. Hamadeh, you believe that if I do not become Muslim, when I die, I'm going to go to hell. And he said, well, yes. But he said, you believe the same thing as a Christian. And she said, no, I don't. And he looked at her and he said, you don't? She said, no. I know you're going to go to hell. And his eyes got that big. And Janie said to herself, well, I better start looking for a new job. But Dr. Hamadeh looked at her and he said, thank you. And she said, what? He said, thank you for being honest and truthful. Most Christians in the United States will compromise their faith, but you haven't. You have held fast to what you believe, and I respect you for that. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul is reminding the church at Corinth, and also us, what our hope is in. And our hope is in the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And I love Paul. He knows us. He knows that things have to be repeated over and over and over again for it to sink into our thick skulls, especially for those of us who are German. And what does he do? But he keeps repeating about the resurrection. If Christ is not raised from the dead, your faith is futile. It's in vain. And we're still lost in our sins, and he keeps repeating that. But then he closes off with those beautiful words, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And because of that, we are Christ's witnesses in the 21st century. We stand firm on his precious word. We give thanks to God for the words of Jesus Christ in John 14:6, where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's only one way to heaven, and it's not through Buddha. It is not through one of the thousand gods and goddesses of Hinduism. It is not through Allah, which is not the one true God, contrary to what the media would try to tell you. For even the Muslims will tell you the God that we worship is different than theirs. Allah cannot save a single soul. He can send them to perdition. But only Jesus Christ can save. For we're reminded by the Apostle Paul that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's God's free gift to us, so that no one can boast. We listen to Paul again in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians in verse 57. "But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And we hold fast to that as God's people, because it gives us hope, and it gives us peace in our hearts. It gives us solace, and we're reminded that through the suffering and death of Christ on the cross of Calvary, all of our sins are forgiven, and our sins are made as white as snow. And when God looks at us as his forgiven children, he looks at us through blood-stained eyes, because he looks at us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he tells us to do something. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we shared this in Bible class, but we didn't go into great detail in it. Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, and he says to the disciples, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And by the way, the other parts of the world includes Hoyleton. That's a fascinating verse, especially when we look at reaching out to other people, especially Muslims, with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Because how many of you, and I want to see a show of hands, and if the pastor says you can raise your hand, it's okay to do it in church, okay? How many of you want to be a witness for Christ? Okay. How many of you know what that word witness means in the Greek? Which is what it was written in. The important thing, though, is before that it says, "And you will receive power," which is a Greek word for that is dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. It's an explosive power. And by the way, the Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. And so the same Spirit that he poured out upon those disciples on that first Pentecost day is the same Spirit he pours out upon his church today. You and I have an explosive spiritual power within us that only comes from God himself. And then Jesus says, and you will be my what? Witnesses. And remember, a lot of you raised your hand to be a witness for Christ. The word that's there in the Greek for witness is a word called martyron. Guess what word we get from it in the English language? Yeah, martyr. Now I'm going to ask another show of hands. How many of you want to be a martyr for Jesus? I've got to tell Pastor Nate that you guys did not disappoint me. As I've been going around preaching for Pablo, you guys have you've lived up to the Missouri Synod standard. We all want to be witnesses for Christ. And then when you hear that the word witness is martyr, all of a sudden the hands go, why don't you want to be a martyr? It's okay. It's not a rhetorical question I expect to answer. Okay, yeah, martyrs die a horrible death, don't they? Have you ever looked at the symbols for the apostles? Their symbols are how they died. Thomas is a spear because according to church tradition, he got as far as India, and as he was proclaiming the gospel message, a pagan priest came up and ran him through with a spear and killed him to shut him up because he was converting too many people. Bartholomew is three knives because he was skinned alive for proclaiming the gospel message of Jesus Christ. John, the only apostle that died a natural death, his is a chalice with a snake coiled in it. Because one of the things, according to church tradition, is that when he was a pastor at Ephesus, the enemies of the church, now don't worry about it, we've got communion later on, poisoned the communion wine with enough poison to kill the entire congregation. But they wanted to get rid of John. John didn't know it. He consecrated the elements. He gave the elements out to the people, the bread and the wine. And guess what happened? Nothing. Paul. His is the open Bible with a sword on it, a gladius. And a lot of times we sit there and say, well, that's because the Bible says it's the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And that's true. But it also talks about how Paul died. He was beheaded. Martyrs for Christ. I want to tell you about a gal. I met her. Her name is Joy. She's 30 years old. 32 by now. She's from Jordan. She has her PhD in Sharia law. She was teaching at a Muslim university in Jordan, and all of a sudden something happened. Someone gave her a Bible, and she started to read it. And the Spirit moved through the Word, and it created a faith in her. And she became a Christian. Now remember, she's living in a moderate Muslim country, living at home. She hid her Christianity for 6 months. But when she could no longer hide it because her parents and her friends and other members of the family said, Joy, there's something different about you. What is it? That she finally told him, she said, I'm Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. The next day, she went to work and was told she was fired because she taught Sharia law. She became an infidel. Her mother said to her, one of these days, your father is going to ask you to go with him because he's going to want to talk to you. Don't. Please don't. And Joy said her mother begged her. And she said, Mom, it's my daddy. What would he do to me? She said, just don't go with him. A few weeks went on, and all of a sudden it was getting on to evening, and her father came up to her and said, Joy, I need to talk to you. Let's go for a ride. And so she got in the car and went with them. They drove around for a while, and they were talking, and all of a sudden they came up to a building, and she noticed that there were no lights on in the building, and it was getting dark outside. And he said, I want to finish talking to you in the building. They get out of the car. They walk to the door. Father opens up the door. She sees the silhouette of three men in the building. Her father puts his hand in her back, shoves her into the building and says, here she is, slams the door and locks it. The three men gang raped her, poured gasoline on her to burn her to death because she became a Christian. That was her only crime. Thank goodness her mother saw it taking place, told her older brother, follow him and save your sister. And he did. She snuck out of Jordan, came to Lebanon, came over here to the United States. And now she works for People of the Book Lutheran Outreach, reaching out to the people that tried to kill her with the message of the cross. That's a martyr. And whether you realize it or not, you are just as much of a martyr as Joy is. Because the word martyr does not mean someone who dies for the faith. It literally means someone who is willing to suffer death rather than turn away from the faith. I'm going to ask for another show of hands. How many of you are confirmed Lutherans? Remember your confirmation? You took a vow. You didn't say it to the pastor. You didn't say it to the families. You didn't say it to the congregation. You said it to God that you would suffer death rather than fall away from the faith. Whether you realize it or not, you are a martyr for Christ. And because of that, we are witnesses to the truth. We are witnesses to the truth of God's message, of his love and his mercy and his grace. As the scripture says, in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for our sins. That's good news. And that's the message of hope that our world needs to hear. That's the message that Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, anyone that isn't a Christian, they need to hear, because without Jesus Christ, we're lost forever. And just as Paul was encouraging the people of his day at Corinth to be witnesses to the resurrection, to the truth of it, God calls us and sends us out to do the same thing. Not to keep the message of the cross and the empty tomb within the four walls of the church, but to take it out into the world. I remember when I was at the seminary, I had a professor who Janie and I, actually, my wife Janie, she and I considered him our pastor. And it was interesting that his first call was out onto the prairies. And he said he had a dual parish, and he talked about having the church grow, and they said, well, we're all Christians. And he said, yeah, but there's got to be more people out here. He said, so I prayed to God, open up my eyes to see where people are. And he said, I started to find them under tumbleweeds and all over the place. And he said the church grew. But he said it took a while to get the people to realize that, yeah, they have neighbors, just like you have neighbors, who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. That's what Pablo is about. That's what we're about, sharing the love of Christ with others. For you and I are witnesses to the truth. As we look forward to the time when Christ will come again in all of his glory and call us all home to be with him forever. But until that time comes, may we continue to be martyrs for the Lord as we share with others the good news of salvation through Christ and Christ alone. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which truly does pass all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus till we do reach life eternal with him. Amen.